Hello there. And welcome to Here Be Monsters. And this is a very unusual show, to be sure. And I'm trying to get my other host, Nicole Tomasini, in. This is Flash Silvermoon.
Is she the right host?
Hello, oh. Nicole.
Hello.
Are you with us? Oh, good.
I am.
Yeah. Tell everybody what's going on.
Yeah. So I lost my internet connection within 5 minutes of the show starting. And we've had these crazy storms in New York. In New York, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So Flash was kind enough to go through the steps and click on all the necessary clicking. And now finally here we are. Yay, perseverance.
Really? Unbelievable.
Yeah. And Gwendolyn Holden-Barry is taking some well-needed rest. So Flash and I will be talking about being a psychic and the responsibility that we have in the world and with the people that we look to help and heal. So go ahead, Flash. Take it away.
Well, a lot of this discussion has been brought up, I believe, because of some of the hoo-ha around Sylvia Brown and the essentially irresponsible work she's been doing. I wasn't aware of just how imperfect, we'll say, she's been with her efforts. And kind of shocking, actually, to me.
Yeah. Gwen told me that out of like 115 predictions, she's gotten none of them right.
Oh, my
like
dear. Well, a little about me, so you have somewhere to fit this information. My name is Flash Silvermoon. I've been a practicing psychic and astrologer for some 45 years and an animal communicator for between 25 and 30 years. And so I've paid my dues. I know the way this world works, being a psychic. And first and foremost, this is no easy job. And if you want to be helping people, which I do, and you're trying to guide people, you want to let them know that the work that we do, that we do want to encourage you to think for yourselves, and there is free will, okay, which means if I tell you everything's going to be fabulous and then you decide, oh, Flash said everything is just fabulous, I won't go to work. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, you're going to ruin the deal. I didn't say everything's cool, stop working. And how could one do that and expect to continue their job? So just a little words about free will, and you always need to guide people towards their highest good. You can't force them to. There's plenty of people that ask me lots of real crap, actually. And it's your job to try to guide them toward better decisions. Can't tell them what to do, but you want to guide them always with ethics and with as gentle a spirit as you can muster. There's always going to be the folks that need the 2x4, but by and large, you are not just a psychic, but you're a counselor. And
right.
What good is great information if you don't deliver it so it can be used?
Mm-hmm.
So the delivery is what you learn over the years as a counselor. And ethics are always number one. So let me turn it over to you for your take on that, and we'll just keep passing the ball around.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think the way you interpret the information that's coming through to you as psychic intuitive, that's where the counselor does come in, because you can give the information in a confusing manner, in a negative manner, in a very offensive manner. Or you can really take a moment and choose the right words
to say, to deliver the message as clearly and concisely and with love and light as possible. And according to the person as well. Like you said, some people need it a little more, you know, with the 2x4. They need a little more, you know, this is what we're looking at. You know, don't look around it.
Yeah.
So, but that's the same thing. You know, you can feel the person that you're dealing with. You can feel the gravity of what they're dealing with, and then you work accordingly with it.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're psychic, you can feel, if you're paying attention and you're in the moment and not thinking about the dollars or whatever else you could be thinking about, you're going to know how this person needs to hear it.
Right.
And, you know, you can look at their chart or at their tarot cards. I do both and a few other things, but, you know, they'll come in like today, perfect example. This woman's been a student, she's been a client, and I don't have a picture for what her life's supposed to look like, and neither should anybody else. But I do have a sense of what is for her highest good, and she had been recently to one of these psychics, and I want to say, I love our profession. I really do. I have the highest esteem for it, which is why I absolutely abhor the people on the side of the road with the big hand up. The palm is up next to the building or the storefront. And I tell everybody I can tell, that hand just wants to be in your pocket. And typically, there's that trick. I kind of want to call it a gypsy trick because that's usually part of what is going on, but I don't want to misrepresent and say all gypsies are thieves, because they're not.
Right.
But
right.
It's that palm on the side of the road or in the storefront. Readings have power over others. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the person goes in this case my client, and the particular psychic, if you can even call her that, looked at her and told her, something's put something on you. And then they look and they size up the person. Let's see, do they come in with a good car? Are they wearing a lot of gold? You know, how much might I hit them up for? And in this case, she was hit up for $800 for this woman to do something to bring her ex-sleazebag husband back into her life. And to take the, quote, thing off of her. Well, you know, the thing that was on her was only the thing from this woman. And she lost $800 and actually for a week got the sleazebag husband back, which was no present. But, you know, I tell people, if I had a dollar for everybody who wanted me to do a spell to get him back, or her back into their lives, that is a line I will not cross. And I'll say, why do you want someone who's running away from you?
Right.
Where is your self-esteem? Why would you want that? And so many people do. Then I try to tell them, you know, what's in it for you? What's in it for you if you drag Mr. Wrong back into your life by magic, which can be done, but if you go that low life path, so there he is, he's back in your life, not supposed to be there, and Mr. Right walks by, and you're like, oh, that's the one. But you're tied up now magically to Mr. Wrong. So what the hell do you think is going to happen? Nothing. It's way better not to bind yourself to the wrong thing, because then it's a hell of a mess to get out of it. And meanwhile, the person you're supposed to be with just walks away.
Because
you're busy.
And it's never done with love.
No.
Because if you're trying to make someone else do something that they don't want to do, you're going against, like, laws of the universe with free will and allowing someone to follow their path and do their vibe. And, you know, so it's already starting on a terrible vibration.
Right. It can't go well.
Mm-hmm.
It can't go well, and I usually have to tell them that story after I explain why it's just not right. So after I tell them why it's just not right, they'll go, but how much? And the, okay, now we have to whip out the how bad it can get if you do this, because just doing the right thing isn't cutting it. You know, sometimes people don't want to be ethical. They want what they want.
Right. Yeah, it's a sense of responsibility for your own actions and for your own intentions and for where you decide to go with what you're asking for. And, you know, to come to a psychic and to do that, it's already on this path. And if it goes wrong, and if you do find a psychic or somebody that will do those things for you, it's still not going to be what you want. It's never going to be what you want.
Nope.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's perfectly fine to do love spells if you want to, as long as you keep the name and the face off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can say, I want the perfect partner who doesn't have any bad, destructive habits and wants me. You won't get in any trouble with that. But if you say, I want Mary, I have to have Mary, well, then you're in trouble. That's really violating someone's free will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a good rule of thumb as well. If you go to any kind of a psychic and they're willing to do any of those things,
walk out.
Keep it moving.
Yeah, and you know, if you go in to see any kind of spiritual healer, teacher, astrologer, psychic, whatever, you go in there, it doesn't feel right to you, it's not right.
Right.
You have intuition. You have ways of knowing things. It's all you need. Absolutely all you need. If it's wrong to you, if it doesn't vibrate just right, just leave. And if you feel afraid to leave, then just don't take it in. Just leave it where you got it.
That's good advice, for sure. I mean, it seems like this with Sylvia Brown, you know, and I would see her on Montel's show, you know. She always did have this very aggressive kind of an energy to her. And she never seemed terribly happy about anything she was doing or saying. It all seemed kind of annoying. So, you know, that already, you know, alarms should go off. And I remember when I watched her, I was like, all right, well, she's an angry woman. But, you know, just because she's angry doesn't mean she doesn't know what she's talking about. And so many times, you know, she's telling you things that you're never going to know whether it's right or not, you know. So I didn't know that her success rate was so low. And
neither did I. Neither did a lot of people.
Right. And so when Gwen was talking about it on the show a few weeks ago, I said, you know, but you got to think about the machine that is still asking her to come back for many, many years. Knowing, I mean, they have to know. I'm sure they get responses from people that say, you know, what she said is not at all what happened. So why does she still get airtime? Well, you know, it kind of makes you think about the powers that be in the media and promoting this space of psychics are full of crap and don't listen to anybody that's, you know, quote unquote, a healer or a psychic. Well, that discounts, you know, so much healing and love already, which, you know, we all know Babylon is very interested in.
Yeah.
You have to think about that, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, Montel is a little bit responsible, too.
Yep.
I mean, if that had been my show, and someone was not delivering, I'd have to ask him to leave. And I'd have to say, I'm so sorry, I promoted this person, my error, my bad, 1,000 apologies.
Unless you are on the same page as this sort of machine, which it kind of sounds like it is.
There's always that. There's always that. And fortunately, we have things like Blog Talk Radio and some of the other internet facilities where we can speak the truth so far.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And how long have you been doing readings and been in the psychic world?
Well, when I was 13, I bought myself a book that was called You Are Psychic. It had a chapter on everything, auras, palm reading, tarot cards, blah, blah, blah. And I tried all different kinds of things, like putting my friends in front of white walls and staring at them, and nothing really ever came of that. And then I tried tarot, but we didn't seem to really understand each other. And then I was looking into palms, and palms really worked. And I went to acting school, and somebody found out that I was quote unquote a palm reader. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just interested. And of course, actors, they don't care. You know, they're like, well, just tell me. You know, like,
tell me something about me.
Tell me. Right, right. So I would look, and I would see certain visuals, be they colors or pictures or feelings or whatever. And I would say, you know, I don't know what this is, but this is what's coming up. And so many times, astonishingly to me, people would either start crying or they would tell me, oh, yeah, that's exactly, and like fill in all of the details that about the thing that I didn't even know made sense, like coming out of my mouth.
Yeah,
so,
it's not for us to figure that out, just to
right,
retrieve the information.
Right. Right, which that also comes with trust, like starting to learn how to trust these vibes and whatever you're getting, pictures, anything. So, and it got to the point where people came up to me afterwards, sometimes years later, and would say, you know, that I either one, that I saved her life, the other one, that she was, I told her that acting really wasn't her thing, and she seemed unhappy. I looked at her palm, and everything was just stress lines across the board. And so I saw writing and other things, and she became a writer, and because of that turn to looking at what was just in the palm. I think that's why I like palms so much, because they change every 6 months, and you can really see immediately stress lines or any kind of breaks, they call them chains, where stress is, and then you have to rely on your pictures and what's coming to you for those. And sometimes I would read people, and I couldn't see anything. I could just see lines. And a lot of times those were people that really didn't want me to see and didn't believe and wanted to prove me wrong. And so I was like, you have a bunch of lines on your hand, and that's all I have, because I realized that was another thing. If somebody didn't want me to see something, I didn't see it. I just wouldn't see it.
Interesting.
So
yeah, palms is the one thing I don't do.
Hmm.
Not because I think it's bad. I just don't do it.
Mhm. Yeah, and I love tarot, and I love getting my cards read. But we don't. But I can work with the angel cards and also the runes. The runes work with things well as well. So that's how. And then it progressed into different things. Like now with doing spirit therapy, I also will call on the cards or the animal runes or whatever to start talking about something that, you know, gives me a basis to start speaking on with this person, you know.
Yeah, I started with the tarot. Well, actually, the very first thing I ever did was psychometry. And
what's that?
Psychometry is object reading. You know, if someone gave you their ring or their watch, I find that the metal things work the best in terms of holding and giving vibration. And
cool.
So I did that with some friends who were doing it. And they said, oh, come on, you've done this before. I said, no, never. And they rolled their eyes, and they said, all right, if you say so, because I was hitting everything on the head. And right after that, I picked up a tarot deck and went at it, and within less than a year, I was working professionally in a club in New York City. After I had a job there playing the piano in a place called the Triple Inn. If you're in New York, it's in the theater district in the 50s. And I had predicted to the owner to the day when he was going to rent his loft, which hadn't rented in 2 years. And when I hid it, he was so excited. He knew that when I had to give up the piano job, yes, people get afraid of psychics. They think, oh, they're going to do something. I better make nice to them. And so he made nice, and he gave me a job there reading cards instead of playing the piano. And my life has kind of gone like that, from music to magic, back and forth, with more focus here than more focus there. And since then, I've worked, that would have been when I was about 22, and 63 now. That's when I started working out publicly. And it was a natural fit for me. And, you know, I've been working at that ever since, and I wrote and created the Wise Woman Tarot, little 25-year project. And, you know, anyone who's going to really do a tarot deck has got to be prepared for a lot of work, unless they're just going to, you know, throw some kind of information, like, I'm going to make the cat tarot, and, you know, okay, so the Queen of Cups is the Persian cat, or whatever. You know, you can be very silly about it. But a real tarot deck takes some time if you want to do it right.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, how do you, so do you intuit each card, like spend time with the energy of each card and then see what fits? How does that procedure go?
Well, I did it like a Pisces, like I am, in a little bit of a different way, which I always do. I read just tons of ancient goddess imagery and literature, and I bathed myself and baked myself in material day after day, just researching and letting it all congeal, and then let it float to the top, rather than saying, okay, I want a Native American to be my priestess of wands. And I turned all the priestesses, I'm sorry, I turned all the queens into priestesses because I wanted to get the tarot the hell out of the Middle Ages. It was a terrible time for women. Why do we sit there? So let's modernize here, folks, but also use the great heritage that there is. No one needed to make a feminist tarot. It's in there. You just need to take the time to unearth it and give it a little bit of a new spin, which is what I did, because the tarot was meant to have a herstory to it, but also a little bit of mobility as it flows with the time continuum. So, you know, it wasn't like, okay, here it is, locked into space, and that's the end of it. And ironically, now, I don't like Aleister Crowley at all. However, when you look at the work of the misogynists and you peel a couple of layers, you can see what they were afraid of and where the real magic is, which is what I did. And, I mean, that was certainly not the only person I studied, but I looked at what he was doing because he gave a hint. And he said with the major arcana of the first three using... talking about the old deck now, you've got the magician and then the high priestess and then the empress and the emperor. And he's referring to the first three as being the priestess, the empress, and the emperor. He said everything is right except not the emperor. And if you looked at the Kabbalah and all the intricacies around those three Hebrew letters, you could see that, yes, in fact, the emperor was supposed to be a female. Because whenever we see trinities with females, there's three, not two. And okay, the emperor got his power by virtue of his marriage to the empress. He follows her, not the other way around. So there's a hint of matriarchy right there. But as Crowley said, but that's not all. And when he said that's not all, I dove in. I said, well, let's just see about this. And I took out the emperor, and I put him in a different spot, and I brought in the star as being the third part of the lunar trinity. So that's just a tiny, tiny bit of some of the changes
yeah.
I made with
yeah.
the actual flow of the major arcana.
Wow.
So I've given this a little bit of thought, for sure.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just let the information bubble up as it will to
mm-hmm.
make my choices intuitively and say, oh, yeah, okay, I'm going to have a Japanese moon goddess for the Five of Cups. That's where, that's where she belongs. And I'd have this whole list of different goddesses and some gods and some heroines who, you know, were going to be somewhere, but I didn't know until I just sat
mm-hmm.
with it and let the right things
mm-hmm.
kind of fall into place.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, a very circular, very female process. Not
mm-hmm.
let's go from A to Z as fast as we can.
Right. Yeah. See the whole jigsaw puzzle. Yeah.
So
wow.
it was a long process, but very rich. Very
mm-hmm.
rich and very deep. And I was very glad to be done. When I was done, I was like, okay, let's live again outside of the major and minor arcana.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a really, that's a great story about finding your inner intuition and psychicness. Anything that you sit with and take your time with, thoughts always come. It's just a matter of sifting through them, just like you sift through information in a
right.
book. And like you said, let it rise up, let it bubble to the top. And then you can also see how your information comes through. Is it, do you always feel feelings? Do you always see pictures? Do you see, you know, smell something, whatever it is. And then
yeah.
you can see what happens the most, you know, and that's where you get it, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I, like some or most people, I get all of that. Sometimes I'll hear things and I'll see. Sometimes I'll have spirits come in the room and
mm.
I'm actually doing mediumish work.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell people, though, I'm a large, I'm not a medium. And so that's just the truth of the matter. You know, when it first started happening, I was like, oh, well, I was told I'd be a medium one day, and I guess I am. They come as they will. But, you know, it's not like a given. You walk in the office, and I'm going to hear stuff and see stuff. You
right.
might very well come in the office, and all of a sudden my arm would hurt in a place it's never hurt, and I'll look and say, oh, do you have an injury to your left arm? Yeah,
mm-hmm.
how'd you know? Well, because my arm's hurting. And, mine isn't anymore. So, you know, that's an empathic experience physically.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You can have all kinds of connections with the information, and you
mm-hmm.
may get all the same, or you might not.
Right. Yeah, I've experienced the same thing, and sometimes I've had spirits walk in the room too. That's always really cool to me because
mm-hmm.
it's so easy to hear what they're saying a lot of when it comes in like that, like so clear. I mean,
yeah.
usually with me, if it's not terribly clear, I'm not quite sure. It may be a spirit in the room, but I don't necessarily recognize it as such because I don't hear the dialogue so clearly. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it just becomes part of the message. But sometimes you can have a flat-out conversation with somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Yeah, they just, like, boom. For me,
yeah.
All of a sudden they're telling me something, and I usually have heat going up my left arm.
Oh.
That's I call that my burglar alarm, you know, something.
Ah.
is going to come through from other spaces. It comes through the left arm first.
Wow, that's really cool.
And that's especially true if I have to protect myself.
Wonderful. Wow. Great.
But, you know, if people want to reach me, you go to flashsilvermoon.com, and you can look up everything that I do should you want to be in touch with me for yourself. And, Nicole, what about you?
Yeah, we have the ilovenicoleshow.com, which is at the moment in plan for season 3. So if you want to watch some old episodes, and we're also on YouTube. But the next coming is, I'm thinking it's going to be more about spirit therapy and all these wonderful things that people do and tools that people can use to help balance themselves and get the most out of their life. So we'll
meet.
See.
And then we're going to be doing Woman Spirit Rising together again for a summer solstice show.
Right.
So that's going to be the Tuesday in June nearest to summer solstice.
Nice. Yeah.
But do you also have
a
website to direct them?
For the show?
For you.
This show?
For you.
Oh, for me. Oh, yeah. ilovenicoleshow.com.
Cool.
That's the one, but not for myself. Yeah, not yet. So, but I think this is such an interesting topic, and you know, we have a few more minutes, but I think maybe it could, and then we could bring Gwen into the conversation. Maybe we should discuss this, you know, further another time too.
Yeah, I would like that because we've just totally just nicked the surface.
Right. Right. And I wanted you maybe to speak a little bit about the lunar eclipse, since that's happening right this weekend.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, should anybody want to read it, I have a post monthly called Astroflash, and it's on my website, flashsilvermoon.com. It's free, and I go through the entire month with the energies and what's coming up. And on the 20th, Uranus and Pluto squared each other again, exactly. And what do you know? Big winds, big tornadoes, kind of predictable over Oklahoma. But we're not out of the woods, I'm afraid. And, you know, for specific details, definitely go read Astroflash. Because it's all down there, including the dates. My feeling is that from now till at least the end of this month, we're going to be having more big weather. I'm thinking we're going to have another big tornado. And I've also been concerned about seas rising, maybe a tsunami on the East Coast from D.C. to Maine. It won't have to be in all those places, but that general vicinity, there's going to be some big water coming. Now, when I say that, I don't mean it has to, because I saw it and I thought it. I can thought it and I can saw it all I want, and we can all still put out a positive vibe so that that won't happen.
Yes.
I'm happy to be wrong. I don't need my predictions to be right when they're bad ones. You know, I'm just assuming, prove me wrong. Thank you very much. But I think we're going to have a rough rest of the month. The eclipse is going to be heavy. And I'm wondering, too, if we aren't going to have some big reveals during this time, especially around the eclipse. There's a lot going on behind the scenes with the shadow government, and perhaps we'll be learning more about where some of this big weather is coming from. It would be good to have a big reveal that is so incredibly eye-popping that people take off their rose-colored glasses.
Yeah,
and I don't say this. I don't say this as a gloom and doomer. I am an optimist, and I do believe that putting out positive energy and prayer en masse can change some of these difficult pictures.
Yeah, it's proven. I mean, you know, the piece fit in, and crimes went down in D.C., and there have been many other studies of such things. I mean, you know, energy is the law of the universe, and when you all converge on an energy vibration, especially an enlisting one, then you can, things, great things can happen. Absolutely. It's so great to say these things because, again, we need to, I think, be used to hearing good or bad, quote unquote, news or,
yes,
or predictions about what's going to happen and not have it go immediately into any kind of a fear response. I mean, it's never going to be helpful, even if the world is ending tomorrow. Fearful of it today is still
right.
not, is never the answer.
No, because
so,
then we lose
absolutely.
The day.
Right, right.
And I really feel with all my heart, no matter what work I'm doing, my big job for the rest of my life is to elevate the energy of the planet. Period.
Right. Right. And including us, you know, ourselves and
oh,
you know,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, I got to walk the talk.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely got to walk the talk. And one little word is that I also work with animals. And thank the goddess I do, I have to say, working with people all these years, working with the animals has been a breath of fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm sure the honesty,
you know,
right?
I love working with them. I love working with people too, but the honesty of an animal, the depth of their spirit, it thrills me inside out to be able to help them, and it's so much easier to do because they don't look at me and say, "Where's your certificate from the AMA?"
Mm.
It either feels good or it doesn't. You either got it or you didn't. And they're just very clear about it. You know,
mm-hmm.
you'll see them react right away. You know, I do get
mm-hmm.
a couple of John Wayne types who need to just suck it up and keep a stiff upper
sure.
lip. But by and large, the animals are totally honest and totally receptive to alternative healing.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they probably give you a lot of information about the planet and if there's things
yes.
that need to be focused on because they're going to feel it before us, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. I live here in Florida and, you know, we've certainly had our share of hurricanes blowing around. And I remember one of them back in 2005 was supposed to come right through and I was doing my usual prep, but I was watching my horse and she was a really good weather woman and she had her head in my window. And she was cool as a cucumber. And I'm thinking, she does not feel a hurricane coming near here. Or she'd be bouncing around.
Sure.
Sure enough, within a half hour, the news report on TV says, okay, we're wrong. The hurricane went in, you know, 300 miles south, and we won't get the brunt of it here at all.
Wow, yeah.
So, you know, mm-hmm. I learned. I learned from my animals. They're
yeah.
my best teachers.
Yeah, best weather forecasters ever.
Yeah. Yeah, they keep their ear to the ground. If they're a little frenetic, something's up.
Right. Right.
So
what are good things to do during this weekend and with the lunar eclipse? What are good things to do?
Well, I would say it's real good to stay out of public places that have a lot of people convening.
Mm.
I would say, especially the night of the eclipse, a lot of people are like, ooh, I want to go look at it. If that eclipse is affecting your particular chart, in other words, if, I forget the exact degree of the eclipse, but should that degree be like on your sun or your rising sign or something, you're going to be more affected than someone who doesn't have the exact hit with their chart. And if you do, you do not want to be out looking at it because it'll heighten whatever the energy is.
Mm.
Not knowing anybody's chart who's listening, I can't give
mm-hmm.
as specific advice as I might with a consult. However, you know, basically be with the people you love, keep your ear to the ground and just pay attention. You don't want to, and lunar eclipses, I find, and I was born on a solar eclipse, so I really feel them. But the lunar eclipses tend to bring up more emotions, more deep emotions. And this one is in Sagittarius. I think we can have more of a light heart than, say, the one in Scorpio last month. But I would still be mindful. And you can't pay me to get on the road this Memorial Day weekend. And, you know, who wants to be part of the memorial? You know, it's just, it's a more dangerous time because everything's keyed up. It's a good time to be more internal. Meditate, hang with a small group of friends, and do what you like. Even better, have a circle to raise the vibration and create a healing vibe around the planet, because you can use this energy positively, too. You just don't want to be in the mix of that mass energetic throng that isn't specifically oriented toward healing, which is most places.
It's a great weekend, really, to listen to yourself and your own intuition and see and do whatever it says is feels the best. That's great.
Yeah. I wouldn't drive far. I found if I wanted to go, like, to the beach or something, I'd find go at a time where there wouldn't be as many people.
Mm.
You know, that's another way. If you really want to go out somewhere in particular, try and make it as a time that is least likely to be troublesome.
Mm. That's great. Great. Well, I think we only have, 2 minutes left? What's the little timer say?
I'm not in front of it right now, but...
Okay. I think we've got 2 minutes, so...
Yeah.
So...
Well, this has been
great
fun.
Yeah.
It's been fun doing the show with you, and I look forward to more conversations like this.
Cool. Yeah, me too. And thank you so much for picking up the helm and pushing all the buttons. It's great.
It was a challenge, but, you know, got there. You know, my energy is always one towards spontaneity, and my feeling is, even if I look at something and think, oh God, how the hell am I going to do that? I always believe that if it was not meant for me to do, it wouldn't be in my lap.
There you go.
Nice.
And so if it winds up there, I usually go for it.
Right. Yeah. Step by step, moment by moment. That's great. Great. All right. Well, thank everybody for listening, and we will see you again next Thursday with something awesome. And Gwen will be back with us. And love and light to everyone, and thanks again, Flash.
Blessings to everybody.
Good night.
Night.